Syntec CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
The Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Medina Period, Volume 2, by Imam Anwar al-Awlaki.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله عز وجل says:
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O you who have believed, indeed the polytheists are unclean, so let them not approach al-Masjid al-Haram after this, their final year. And if you fear privation, Allah will enrich you from His bounty if He wills. Indeed, Allah is knowing and wise. The people of Quraysh, for centuries, their livelihood was based on doing business. They had an influx of people coming in for Hajj and Umrah throughout the year. So that was the foundation of their business. So what they used to do is buy and trade with the people who are coming in to Mecca throughout the year. That's all what they knew how to do. They weren't into anything else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the mushrikeen that after this year, and this was in the 9th year of Hijrah, no mushrik is allowed into al-Masjid al-Haram. No mushrik is allowed into al-Masjid al-Haram, into Mecca. To the people of Quraysh, this was a catastrophe. A disaster. We're dead. Because not all of the Arabs have become Muslim yet. Najd and all of those areas are not yet Muslim. You have Al-Hujaz is already Muslim, but the other parts of Arabia have not accepted Islam yet. So the bulk of the Arabian Peninsula have not become Muslim. And these are the ones who are going to come in and do Hajj and do Umrah. And these are the ones whom we depend on for our livelihood. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that they're banned from entering the country. I mean, this is not good for the economy. And by the way, not only today are people thinking about the economy. Even then, economy, financial resources was a major concern of the people. And a lot of the decisions that the politicians make are based on economical reasons. So the people of Quraysh were thinking in economical terms and saying that this is not a wise decision. How are we going to live? And this is the ayah that we just recited, Allah Azza wa Jalla saying, oh, you have believed, indeed the polytheists are unclean. That's the reason. That's the reasoning behind the banning of al-mushrikeen from entering into al-haram. The ayah is saying that the reason why they're not allowed in is because of their najasa. And then Allah says, so let them not approach al-masjid al-haram after this, their final year. Khalas, this is the last year. And this announcement was made in the 9th year of Hijrah. And as a response to the complaints of the people of Quraysh, they're already Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and if you fear privation, Allah will enrich you from His bounty if He wills. Indeed, Allah is knowing and wise. And this is tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jalla. If something is haram, we stop from it. If something is halal, we encourage people to do it. That is how we base our decisions. It's not on what will make us money and what will not. So Islam came to change the way people think, because people usually think in financial terms. And decisions are made, laws are made in that sense. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling them, if you have trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will provide for you. And it was a difficult thing for Quraysh, because they knew, they didn't have any other skill or art to do and make money. The land in Mecca is not suitable for planting anything. It's a very infertile, dry land. Rocky tracks and no rain. So when business was their only job that they knew how to do, and they're told not to do it, they were kind of concerned. They were worried. Allah Azza wa Jalla told them, Allah will provide for you. Khalas. Allah will provide for you. Let's have iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's do what Allah Azza wa Jal told us. And by the way, brothers and sisters, this has many implications on us today, because there are a lot of Muslims who deal with riba, who sell haram things, and the reason is, this is the only way we can make money. So they open a grocery store and they sell things that are haram. You tell them this is haram, they say, how are we going to live? And then you find people buying houses using mortgages, which is a clear riba, without any doubts. And then they say, how are we going to survive? We're going to lose all of our money if we keep on paying rent. The response to these people is, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever has taqwa, Allah will find a way out for them and will provide them from sources they never expected. It's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you have taqwa and you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is what will happen. Allah will provide for you. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah will provide for you. So how did Allah provide for the people of Mecca? The next ayah, verse 29, Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ.
Fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day, and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and His Messenger have made unlawful, and who do not adopt the religion of truth from those who were given the scripture. Fight until they give the jizya willingly while they are humbled. This is how Ibn Kathir starts the chapter on the events of the 9th year of Hijrah, and this is how he opens his section on the Battle of Tabuk. It is by giving a brief tafsir of these two ayat. The order from Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse 123 of Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا قاتلوا الذين يلونكم من الكفار وليجدوا فيكم غلظة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين.
O you who have believed, fight those adjacent to you of the disbelievers and let them find in you harshness, and know that Allah is with the righteous. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, fight those adjacent to you. Who are the ones adjacent to the Muslims now, in the 9th year of Hijrah? It is the Romans. Because the Roman Empire reaches to the boundary of Hijaz. So the first people who are included in this ayah are the Romans. Because when this ayah was revealed, all of the Arabs of Hijaz were Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started the greatest mobilization ever in the history of Islam so far. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam usually, when he would lead an army or send out an army, he would maintain secrecy of the target in order to ambush the enemy and take them by surprise. However, in this incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it public from day one. Why? First of all, because they're facing a new enemy. They are facing the Roman Empire. And there is some, this is a different situation here. Here now we're not facing a tribe, and we're not facing people from our own kind whom we already know. This is something that is unknown. It is a foreign nation. Plus, the Roman Empire has such a great reputation all over the world for its strength and power, and this reputation is centuries old. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear from the beginning that we are going to fight Rome. The second reason is because of the distance. There's going to be a lot of traveling involved, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted them to prepare accordingly. I mean, this is not a short distance travel, and therefore a lot of preparation is needed. And the third reason, it was the worst time of the year to travel. It was midsummer, very hot, and it was the time when the dates are ripening on the palm trees, and that's a very tempting time to stay behind, because the life of the people of Medina was based on agriculture, and their agriculture was pretty much mostly palm dates. That was the main agriculture of the people of Al-Ansar. So you wait all year long for the harvest, and now we're supposed to travel right at that time when the fruit is ripening on the tree, and it's very tempting. So it was a very difficult time to set out. But the Battle of Tabuk is going to be the last major trial that the Muslims are going to go through before the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will notice that the Battle of Tabuk represents the peak of Islam and represents the most difficult test so far. And it was the Battle of Tabuk that brought down the ayat that are talking about nifaq and iman. So this was going to be the criteria between the true believers and the munafiqeen. This is a closing chapter in the jihad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the final laws of fighting are going to come. These are the ayat that will abrogate the ayat before, and the ayat that will expose the munafiqeen are going to come down in Tabuk, even though the phenomena of nifaq is a few years old by now, because nifaq appeared in Medina right after the Battle of Badr. So we're talking about a span of 7 years of the existence of nifaq. Nevertheless, the surah that talked the most about nifaq is the surah of At-Tawbah. And At-Tawbah, surah At-Tawbah, was revealed in the 9th year of Hijrah, which was the year in which the Battle of Tabuk occurred. And most of the ayat of Surah At-Tawbah are relating to the Battle of Tabuk. So these are prime moments, very important moments, and we're getting close to the end of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we're talking about now, brothers and sisters, are the final stages. What we're talking about now are the final chapters, and they are the final and most important ones. I mean, this is, even though in the Battle of Tabuk there was no fighting, but it was an epic event. It has such an importance in Sharia and in Seerah and in Aqidah, in every aspect of Islamic knowledge. And that's why we'll be going through a lot of ayat, because there are so many ayat that were revealed in Surah At-Tawbah about the Battle of Tabuk. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ يَلُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ وَلِيَجِدُوا فِيكُمْ غِلْظَةً وَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. O you who have believed, fight those adjacent to you of the disbelievers, and let them find in you harshness, and know that Allah is with the righteous. So again, the Battle of Tabuk represents a trial from Allah Azza wa Jalla, because again, as I mentioned, there was no fighting involved. But it was a test. It was a test. And it represented the most difficult battle so far. And that is also why, that is the reason why this battle was given the name Jaysh al-Usrah, the army of difficulty. Usrah means difficult, severe, tough, because the financing of the army was difficult, the gathering of the army was difficult, the travel of the army was difficult, the weather was difficult, and the enemy that we're facing is difficult, and that's why it's called the Battle of Difficulty, Jaysh al-Usra, or the Army of Difficulty. And Allah Azza wa Jal has called it in Quran, Sa'at al-Usra, the Hour of Difficulty. And we'll get to that ayah, inshallah. The mobilization, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent out, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the people who are in Medina, and the surrounding tribes, and Mecca, all over, all of the Muslims. There was never such a mobilization before. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to recruit every able-bodied Muslim. And the ayat of Quran came to support this and to lay down the final laws regarding fighting fi sabilillah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 38, Surah At-Tawbah,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ انْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ اثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ.
The call was difficult, and therefore people were finding it hard convincing themselves to come out. So Allah Azza wa Jal in this ayah, and you see brothers and sisters, Quran speaks to the heart and it exposes the heart and tells you the illness that is in the heart whether you know it or not. And that is something unique about Quran, because it is from Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from the one who created you and knows what is good for you and what is bad, and knows what is happening in the inner, in your heart of hearts, what is happening inside. And these are things that you might not even recognize yourself, within yourself. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the people the reason why they do not want to go out. Because you see, people might give many reasons. They might say because the fiqh does not state we have to go out. Some might say because there's a difference of opinion. Some might say because it doesn't make sense. Some might say because it's not wise. But Allah Azza wa Jal tells them why. O you who have believed, what is the matter with you that when you are told to go forth in the cause of Allah, you adhere heavily to earth? That is the reason. It is love of dunya. It is adherence to the earth. Are you satisfied with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? But what is the enjoyment of worldly life compared to the hereafter except a very little? So this ayah mentions the cause and it mentions the cure. It mentions the disease and the cure. The disease is attachment to dunya. اثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. You are adhering to earth. You love your life and you don't want to leave it behind. And the cure is, Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding us with the reality of this world that it is nothing compared to the hereafter. And from day one, this ayah is in a tawbah, the first ayat which were in Surah Al-Baqarah, where the command to fight was given. Allah Azza wa Jal says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Fighting has been prescribed on you while you dislike it. Allah Azza wa Jal told us this is something that we dislike. We even not only dislike to do, we dislike to talk about it. And look at it right now. How many people are talking about this? Even though it is one of the fara'id in Islam, even though there are so many ayat and so many ahadith talking about this, but people don't want to speak about it, let alone do it. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us what the disease is and giving us the cure. And then Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us what will happen if we don't fight in His sake. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِلَّا تَنْفِرُوا يُعَذِّبْكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ وَلَا تَضُرُّوهُ شَيْئًا وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you do not go forth, He will punish you with a painful punishment. And our condition today is a testimony to this. Look at how we are being punished because we are staying behind. We are poor even though we are the wealthiest. Our land and what is beneath our land is wealthy, nevertheless we are poor. We are disunited even though we should be the most united ummah. We are weak when we should be the highest and strongest ummah. All of this is punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal because we did not give support to His deen. If you do not go forth, He will punish you with a painful punishment and will replace you with another people, and you will not harm him at all, and Allah is over all things competent. So this is the punishment of Allah, and Allah is warning the Muslims because, as I said, many of them do not like talking about this, let alone doing it. In fact, not only talking about it, they don't even want to hear about it. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِلَّا تَنصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you do not aid the Prophet, Allah has already aided him. If we do not defend Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, if we do not defend the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we do not protect him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not need us. Allah azza wa jalla will protect him. It is something that we need to do for our own sake, for our own benefit. But Allah azza wa jalla will support his messenger. Allah azza wa jalla says, Allah has already aided him when those who disbelieved had driven him out of Mecca as one of two, he and Abu Bakr in the Hijrah. When they were in the cave, and he said to his companion, do not grieve. Rasulullah is speaking to Abu Bakr. Do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us. And Allah sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with angels you did not see, and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest, while the word of Allah that is the highest, and Allah is exalted in might and wise. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says,
انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the Sahaba and telling us and telling every Muslim, go forth whether light or heavy, and strive with your wealth and your lives in the cause of Allah, that is better for you if you only knew. انفروا خفافا وثقالا. Go forth, whether light or heavy. What does light or heavy mean? Al-Qurtubi mentions the opinions of the scholars of tafsir. They said, young and old, busy or not busy, wealthy or poor. Everyone needs to go out. When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba viewed this as such a burden. They said that no one has an excuse. Everybody has to go out. And that is when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah.
لَيْسَ عَلَى الضُّعَفَاءِ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَى وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المحسنين من سبيل والله غفور رحيم.
There is not upon the weak or upon the ill or upon those who do not find anything to spend any discomfort when they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger. There is not upon the doers of good any cause for blame, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. So Allah excused the weak and the ill and the ones who do not find anything to spend. Otherwise, everyone else needs to go out. I mean, Abu Qatada, the knight of Rasulullah radiallahu anhu, he was seen on his horse, and he was such an old man that his eyebrows were covering his eyes, and he was, by then, he gained a lot of weight. So he was told that you are among the ones who excused you. Why are you going out? He said, the surah of At-Tawbah has left us no excuse. That was the understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, go forth whether light and heavy. And then Allah says, and strive with your wealth and your lives. Notice here that the wealth was mentioned before the lives, and that is how it is in every ayah, except in one ayah in Quran. And that is because fighting consumes money. I mean, it just burns it away. That was the case then, and that's the case now. I mean, it just, fighting, any war effort just swallows up money. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal in the ayat of Quran and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith emphasized on the importance of spending fi sabilillah. In fact, Al-Qurtubi says that every other sadaqah is multiplied by 10, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that al-hasana bi'ashr amthaliha, one good deed is multiplied by 10. Except when you spend in the path of Allah, it is equivalent to 700, because of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that talks about the grain that multiplies into 700, and that is when it is spent in fi sabilillah. And Ibn Hajar says that whenever fi sabilillah is mentioned, it usually means the context of jihad fi sabilillah, and therefore Al-Qurtubi says that every other spending, whether it is for the poor or the needy or building a masjid or whatever, $1 or one whatever currency it is multiplied by 10, while when it is for the fighting fi sabilillah, 1 equals 700. And that is to emphasize the importance of spending, because it is such an expensive thing. I mean, it just incinerates money. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started fundraising, collecting the donations. He would stand up and ask the people to give. And it was a difficult time in terms of the financial resources of the people. They didn't have much, especially that it's before the harvest and that is where their money is. But they were still bringing. Abu Bakr brought his money and Umar ibn Khattab. And then Rasulullah ﷺ was asking for more. So Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu brought 100 camels ready with their saddles and all, the whole thing. And then Rasulullah ﷺ asked for more. Uthman ibn Affan brought 100. And then Rasulullah ﷺ asked for more, so he brought 100. And then Rasulullah ﷺ asked for more, so Uthman ibn Affan brought some gold coins, and he poured it in the lap of Rasulullah ﷺ. So Rasulullah had his fingers in these coins, and they were in his lap, and his fingers were in the coins, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَان مَا فَعْلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. Nothing Uthman does after this day would harm him. Whatever he does, that's it. He is forgiven because of what he has done on this day. And this shows you the virtue of spending fi sabilillah. Then there were those who were looking for excuses to get out of their duties. And let's read the ayat that talk about them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَإِذَا أُنْزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ اسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُنْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ رَضُوا بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ وَطُبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ.
And when a surah was revealed, enjoining them to believe in Allah and to fight with His Messenger, those of wealth among them asked your permission to stay back and said, leave us to be with them who sit at home. And who are these who are asking to be excused? They are the ones with wealth. So the exact ones who should be going out are the exact ones who are asking for an excuse to stay. And this shows us the fitna of money. I mean, money in itself is not evil, but if it causes a person to forsake their duties towards Allah and His religion, then it becomes an evil instrument. And here in this ayah, we find that these people came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, we don't want to go, excuse us. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ وَطُبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. They were satisfied to be with those who stay behind, women and children, and their hearts were sealed over so they do not understand. Pay attention to this. These people have heard Qur'an, and these are people who sat in the khutbah and the lectures of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So most likely they know more than me and you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says about them, لا يفقهون. They have no understanding. People who heard Qur'an fresh from the heavens and heard the hadith not from a book but from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lived in the context. You see, they lived in the context of when the verses were revealed and when the hadith was said. So no matter how much we read, we will not reach to that understanding because we were not there. And still Allah says that they do not understand. By today's standards, they would be great scholars, but they do not understand. Why? Because they don't get the point. They do not understand the reality of dunya and akhirah. They do not understand the wisdom behind jihad fi sabilillah. They do not understand the importance of sacrifice. They just don't get it. And many are the Muslims today who don't get it, who don't understand the proper Islamic view of the world, and they do not understand the issue of the importance of supporting the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So understanding, brothers and sisters, is not how many ayat and how many ahadith you memorize and you know. Understanding is the fiqh of the heart, the understanding of the heart. Because anybody can memorize Qur'an and hadith. Even a non-Muslim could do that. I mean, there are Islamic studies departments in many universities in the West and other parts of the world. And many of the students who get the top grades over there are non-Muslim. So they know ahadith and they know ayat. So is that the criteria of true knowledge? No. True knowledge is not how much ayat and ahadith you have learned, but how much do you understand them and follow them. Because if you're just memorizing ayat and hadith, you're just adding up evidence against you on the Day of Judgment. Because every ayah that you know will be an evidence against you on the Day of Judgment. You're actually making it worse for yourself. And every hadith that you learn will be evidence against you because you knew it and you didn't follow it and you did nothing. So actually you're worse than somebody who didn't know it. Because the one who didn't know it can say on the Day of Judgment, "Oh Allah, I never knew about this. Nobody told me about it." But the one who knows it has no excuse at all. And these people knew the truth and they didn't follow it. So the fiqh, and this is very important, don't be deceived by sweet tongue and don't be deceived by people who have wrote, they just memorize everything and they just spit it out to you. But it's, you should take the example by the ones who are following the haqq, not the ones who are just saying it. The ones who are saying it, if they're saying the haqq, then follow it yourself. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says about the ones who understand.
لَكِنِ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
But the Messenger and those who believed with him fought with their wealth and their lives. Those will have all that is good, and it is those who are successful.
أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ.
Allah has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally. That is the great attainment. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ.
And those with excuses among the Bedouins came to be permitted to remain. These are some Bedouins who had valid excuses. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to some Mufassirin, they say they have valid excuses, and some of them say that they didn't. So there's a difference of opinion on the exact meaning of this part of the ayah. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and they who had lied to Allah and His Messenger sat at home.
سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
There will strike those who disbelieved among them a painful punishment. Now, we recited this ayah, the ones who are excused from going out. There is not upon the weak or upon the ill or upon those who do not find anything to spend any discomfort when they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger. There is not upon the doers of good any cause for blame, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. The next ayah talks about some of the Sahaba who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, they said, "O Rasulullah, carry us," meaning provide us with transportation. We have nothing. Because part of the preparation is that you need to have your camel or your horse to travel. This is a long distance. You can't just go without any preparation. So these were very poor Sahaba, but they sincerely want to go. So they came to Rasulullah and said, "Oh Rasulullah, provide for us. Help us, we want to join." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه." I cannot provide you with anything. I don't have anything. They were so sad that they were deprived from the honor of joining this army, that they left with tears flowing on their cheeks. So you can see the contrast here between some people who have wealth and have the ability, and they are happy to stay behind. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ Allah Azza wa Jalla says they were happy to stay behind. And on the other hand, you have these poor Sahaba who eagerly want to go, and when they were prevented, they cried. So there's a difference in the hearts here between these and those. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ
Nor is there blame upon those who, when they came to you, that you might give them mounts, you said, I can find nothing for you to ride upon. They turned back while their eyes overflowed with tears out of grief that they could not find something to spend for the cause of Allah.
إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ وَهُمْ أَغْنِيَاءَ رَضُوا بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ وَطَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ
The cause for blame is only upon those who ask permission of you while they are rich. They are satisfied to be with those who stay behind, and Allah has sealed over their hearts so they do not know. So Allah said in the previous ayah, لا يفقهون, they have no fiqh, and in this ayah, لا يعلمون, they have no knowledge. So they have no understanding and they have no knowledge. They don't have either. Allah says about the munafiqeen,
لَوْ كَانَ عَرَضًا قَرِيبًا وَسَفَرًا قَاصِدًا لَاتَّبَعُوكَ وَلَكِنْ بَعُدَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الشُّقَّةِ وَسَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَوْ اسْتَطَعْنَا لَخَرَجْنَا مَعَكُمْ يُهْلِكُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ
Had it been an easy gain and a moderate trip, meaning if there was a lot of ghanima, and if the distance wasn't far away, the hypocrites would have followed you. But distant to them was the journey, and they will swear by Allah, if we were able, we would have gone forth with you, destroying themselves through false oaths. And Allah knows that indeed they are liars.
عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ
Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should not have excused them. Allah says, May Allah pardon you, O Muhammad. Why did you give them permission to remain behind? You should not have until it was evident to you who were the truthful and you knew who were the liars. So it was a test from Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should not have given them an excuse. And then Allah tells us who are the true believers and who are not. Allah says,
لَا يَسْتَأْذِنُكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ أَن يُجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُتَّقِينَ
Those who believe in Allah and the last day would not ask permission of you to be excused from fighting with their wealth and their lives. And Allah is knowing of those who fear Him. So the ones who have taqwa and the ones who believe in Allah, they're not going to try to find excuses, but you would find them eager to support the religion of Allah and fight for it. But then the ones who are looking for excuses, Allah says about them,
إنما يستأذنك الذين لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وارتابت قلوبهم فهم في ريبهم يترددون
Only those would ask permission of you who do not believe in Allah and the last day and whose hearts have doubted and they are in their doubt are hesitating. And this is a fact. Those who misinterpret the concept of fighting fi sabilillah. And those who have weak iman and try to get out of it, they are always in a state of hesitation. They're always in a state of unclarity. They're in a state of contradiction. Because they say on one hand that we want to support the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, but then they refuse to do it and they try to find excuses to get out of it. So it's a contradicting state. And it's a very changing heart. And Allah Azza wa Jal says about them, they do not have a true belief in Allah on the last day. Somebody who has yaqeen in akhirah, and somebody who has true iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. First of all, because of the iman in Allah, he will fear Allah more than he fears anybody or anything else. And because of the iman in the last day, he will not have any value of this dunya. And then Allah says about them, and this is a criteria for those who are really excused and those who are not. Allah says,
وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ قُعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ.
And if they had intended to go forth, they would have prepared for it. Brothers and sisters, anything important needs preparation. If you want to be a physician, you need to prepare for it. You need to go to school. If you want to be an engineer, you have to go through years of education. And same thing in Islam. Just like in dunya, any job or any profession needs a preparation. Otherwise, you're lying. I mean, if somebody says, I want to be a doctor, but then he doesn't go to college, and somebody says, I want to find employment, but he never goes and search for it, is dishonest with himself. Same thing in Islam. If you say, for example, you want to make hijrah, fi sabilillah, and you don't prepare for it, you're being dishonest with yourself. And if you say that you want to strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but you're not doing any preparation for it, then that's also not an excuse. Because those who sincerely want to strive in the cause of Allah are going to prepare. And the term preparation is broad. It would include anything that is needed for such a ibadah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal is telling Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that it's better that these people did not come out. Why? Because this is what they will do.
لَوْ خَرَجُوا فِيكُمْ مَا زَادُوكُمْ إِلَّا خَبَالًا وَلَأَوْضَعُوا خِلَالَكُمْ يَبْغُونَكُمُ الْفِتْنَةَ وَفِيكُمْ سَمَّاعُونَ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ.
Had they gone forth with you, they would not have increased you except in confusion. They would not increase you in anything good. They would add to your confusion because their minds are full of doubts. They do not have a firm yaqeen and iman in what they're doing. They're confused. They have so many doubts in their hearts. They have doubts from the news, they have doubts from the munafiqeen, they have doubts from the kuffar. Their minds are full of doubts. And if they come out with you, they will just add confusion. And then Allah says, and they would have been active among you. Active with what? Seeking to cause you fitna. They're going to come out for the cause of fitna. They're going to come out with namima, backbiting. They're going to try to cause disunity among you. They will spread their doubts among your ranks. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and among you are avid listeners to them. And Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. Who is Allah speaking to? He's speaking to the generation of the Sahaba. Allah is telling them, and among you are avid listeners to them. SubhanAllah, how could a companion be an avid listener of a munafiq? Well, that's the whole point behind the importance of warning against the munafiqeen, because they are so elusive. It's very difficult to tell who a munafiq is, because they could be very sweet-tongued, they could be very knowledgeable, they could be very prominent, they could be very charismatic, they could have such a captivating personality, and you look up to them, and you listen to their words, and their words make sense to you, and that's why you become an avid listener to them. And in reality, they are deceiving you. And Allah Azza wa Jal is giving this warning to the Sahaba, so what do you think about us today? How much confusion are these munafiqeen causing us today? When we are very far away from the understanding of the Sahaba, when our fitrah is corrupted, because the Sahaba had a clean fitrah. I mean, for them, because of their clean fitrah, they would have a better ability in distinguishing what is right from wrong. However, with us, living in such a corrupt material world, where the values and the norms that we are brought up with are so messed up, the confusion is even worse. And that is why you find that a wide section of the ummah is really confused. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know what their duties are. They're in a state of loss. Brothers and sisters, it's very important to study the ayat of Surah At-Tawbah and study the ayat of Munafiqeen in Ayat At-Tawbah so that we could be cautious from two things. Number one, that we are not Munafiqeen ourselves. And number two, that we do not fall into or are not fooled by the ones who are Munafiqeen. I mean, Nifaq is such a delicate thing and very elusive thing that even Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu used to fear that he might be a munafiq. Subhanallah, Umar. And he would go to Hudhaifa, the one who had the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and knew the names of the munafiqeen. He went to him and said, I ask you in the name of Allah, did Rasulullah mention me among the munafiqeen? Hudhaifa told him, no, and I'm not going to answer this question to anyone other than you. Because it's a secret, and Hudhaifa did not want to give it up. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the Muslims that it's better that they didn't come out, because if they came out, they're not really into fighting fi sabilillah. They don't understand fighting fi sabilillah, and therefore they're going to come out and just cause confusion among you.
لَقَدْ ابْتَغَوُوا الْفِتْنَةَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَقَلَّبُوا لَكَ الْأُمُورَ حَتَّى جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَظَهَرَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ.
They had already desired dissension before and had upset matters for you until the truth came and the ordinance of Allah appeared while they were averse. Abdullah ibn Ubay, such a despised individual, we all hate him because we know that he's a munafiq. But let's put things in the right context. Abdullah ibn Ubay was the leader of his people. He was Sayyid al-Khazraj. He was the lord of al-Khazraj, their chief. And Abdullah ibn Ubay used to stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give khutbat al-Jum'ah and tell the people that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, so listen to his words. I mean, he's standing in front of the people before the khutbah, introducing the khutbah of Rasulullah ﷺ, telling the people to listen to him. And when Umar ibn al-Khattab told Rasulullah ﷺ that we should kill him, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions in one narration, سَتَرْغَمْ لَهُ أُنُفْ. There are many men who might fight for him. So, subhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Ubay had a great following, and some of the people who are deceived by him might not handle it well. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ refused to execute him. So these were prominent members in the society, and they have caused such dissension among the Muslims and problems in the past, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the ayah I just recited.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ ذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Al-Jadd bin Qais, and he is one of the leaders of al-Munafiqeen, he told him, are you ready for fighting the Romans? Al-Jadd bin Qais said, O Messenger of Allah, my people know I have a reputation of being a man who loves women so much, and I fear for myself if I go with you, that I might fall into fitna because of the woman of Banu al-Asfar. Banu al-Asfar is the name that is given to the Romans. Asfar is yellow. So the children of Asfar are the people that are yellow. That was the color that was given to them as the description. So Al-Jadd ibn Qais is saying, if I go to you, the women over there are going to cause me fitna. So the reason why he wanted to stay behind is to stay away from fitna, which you can see that he gave himself an excuse as if it is for the sake of Allah. You know, I don't want to go out and fight because it's going to cause me fitna. I might fall into haram. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ اُذَنْ لِي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. And among them is he who says, permit me to remain at home and do not put me to trial. Trial here is the translation of fitna. Unquestionably, into trial they have fallen. And indeed, hell will encompass the disbelievers. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that by staying behind, you're staying in fitna. If you go, you will be spared fitna. If you stay behind, then you're in fitna. So the ones who always talk about the excuse that I'm not prepared spiritually, I'm not prepared this or that, they will never be prepared spiritually if they stay behind, because they're always going to be in a state of fitna. It is when they go out fi sabilillah that they will be free of the fitna. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The ones who struggle in our cause, Allah will guide them to our paths. So guidance comes with going out. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the munafiqeen,
إِن تُصِبْكَ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ وَإِن تُصِبْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ يَقُولُوا قَدْ أَخَذْنَا أَمْرَنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَيَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ فَرِحُونَ.
If good befalls you, it distresses them, but if disaster strikes you, they say, we took our matter in hand before and turn away while they are rejoicing. This is another habit of the munafiqeen. They are happy when disaster befalls the Muslims. And when that happens and they stayed behind, they would say, see, we told you. Why did you go out? And they think that they are wise because they avoided trouble. And it's actually the opposite. They are falling into trouble. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمْ أَن يُصِيبَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابٍ مِّنْ عِندِهِ أَوْ بِأَيْدِينَا فَتَرَبَّصُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُتَرَبِّصُونَ.
Allah Azza wa Jalla say, do you await for us except one of the two best things? What are the two best things? Either victory or martyrdom. While we await for you that Allah will afflict you with punishment from Himself or at our hands. So wait indeed we along you are waiting. So wait indeed we along with you are waiting. So the Muslim should tell the munafiqeen that whatever happens to us, even if we're defeated, even if we lose, and you think that you're wise and smart that you stayed behind, you need to understand that our objective is one of two things. Either victory or martyrdom. And these are the best things to wait for. While we are waiting for also two things to happen to you. Either a punishment from Allah or a punishment from us. So these are some ayat that we're talking about. The ones who stayed behind in the battle of Tabuk. Inshallah ta'ala will carry on in our next session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Please proceed to the next CD.